State of the Union tonight, continuing our discussion with Michael Waldman, former Clinton chief speechwriter and author of My Fellow Americans, the most important speeches of America's presidents from George Washington to Barack Obama. Michael, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Also joining the conversation is Jen Psaki, Deputy Communications Director for the White House. Jen, I imagine you're fairly busy this morning.
Yes, good morning. We've been up early and pretty excited around here about the day ahead.
Now, an earlier member of the White House staff during the George W. Bush administration came to regard the State of the Union address, and I'm going to try to drag you into this territory, but I know you're not going to go there. Describe the State of the Union address as enormous annoyance, a huge laundry list that had almost no rhetorical significance and was just an enormous burden on the White House staff. Are you feeling it, or is it all fun and games, Jen?
You know, I think that the American people shouldn't expect to hear a laundry list from the president today. He's going to talk about what his vision is for the future. So how do we win the future? How do we compete? How do we create jobs? How do we put people back to work? So this is certainly not a laundry list. I'm sure some may be disappointed by that, but that's not what to expect from this evening.
Michael Waldman, in your experience, how do you keep the laundry list requirements of the State of the Union from sort of dumbing down or dragging down the rhetoric of the State of the Union address itself?
Well, I think that the key is to have an overarching vision and overarching framework. We're all eager to hear the president talk about the economy and his vision of what he hopes it can be in the future. But I have to say one thing, which is the public really wants to hear from their president. They want to hear from President Obama and other presidents about policy. This is an unfiltered opportunity for President Obama to talk about his vision to the whole country without it being sliced and diced and analyzed and dissected before people hear it. And, you know, people can complain about the laundry list, but watching the State of the Union is still one of the last remaining civic rituals. It's the only time every year that any president gets to talk directly to all of us, so we're all ears.
But as you described a little bit earlier this morning, a part of the power of the speech comes from the moment that we're in, and we just experienced Barack Obama giving a powerful speech reassuring the nation after the Tucson shootings. There'll be references to that speech tonight. Jen Psaki, how important is it to move away from the emotional center of Tucson without just sort of turning the speech into something more wonky and kind of policy-oriented?
Well, the tragedy and heroism of Tucson will certainly be referenced in the speech and will be a theme that people will hear in the speech. And really, the connection that it offers is that, you know, it's not about, we'll obviously have an empty chair in the chamber this evening. So that's just a physical reminder of what happened 2 weeks ago. But it's also a reminder of how we need to change our discourse and we need to work together in areas where we agree. And, you know, not just Tucson, but the last 2 years in a very different way have been very, very challenging. And so how do we move forward? And that's what people should expect to hear from the president tonight.
Michael Waldman, how do you keep the State of the Union from being about the subtextual messages of, you know, whether John Boehner shakes his head or whether, and there was this whole big separation of powers issue about, you know, Judge Alito shaking his head as President Obama criticized the Citizens United case?
Well, some of that is part of the stagecraft of it, which is part of what makes it compelling to people. It is a rare time when the two elected branches of government are in the same room. But again, I think that a president has a chance, and President Obama certainly has a chance, to kind of transcend the pettiness and transcend the cable TV theatrics by putting forward a compelling vision and a positive vision. I think that the country is ready to hear not only what's wrong right now, and not even only how do we go forward in terms of entitlement reform or taxes or any of these other things, but how does it all add up to an affirmative vision for the country in the future? What is the role of government? What do we want it to be? What do we want the economy to look like? President Obama has had to deal with so many crises over the past 2 years. In some ways, he hasn't, from this outsider's perspective, had the chance to talk in that holistic way to the country. And tonight, it's hard to avoid the laundry list, but even so, you can see the outlines of broad themes if it's done right.
Jen Psaki, is America clear on what it wants government to do? And is that part of the challenge for Barack Obama? Is the Congress even clear?
Well, I I think tonight, as we've just been discussing, is an opportunity for the president to lay out his vision. And one of the pieces you'll hear him talk about is that, you know, it's not a contest between Democrats and Republicans. It's about how we're going to compete with the rest of the world. How are we competing with the next generation of workers in China or young people studying math and science in India? And that is part of what the president will talk about tonight. And so this is an opportunity to give what his vision is. Where does he feel we need to invest? Where does he feel we need to make cuts? How do we change the government? How do we address and take a responsible approach to our deficits? So hopefully by the end of this evening, it will be very clear where the president sees the country going over the next year or two.
Michael Waldman referred to the sort of cable TV theatrics in my reference to some of the sort of parting shots or cutaway shots that you'll see in the speech, but you already referred to one that gave me goosebumps, and that is when they're going to cut away to that empty seat where Gabrielle Giffords will not be sitting tonight. Do you anticipate those kinds of moments? I mean, do you become producers there in the White House and go, oh, that's when they're going to cut to Boehner, or oh, that's when they're going to cut to the Supreme Court justices, or do you just keep it all words?
Well, you know, we know what we can control and what we can't control, and we can certainly, you know, the president controls what is in his speech and what message he's conveying to the American people. But, you know, tonight is interesting because there will be Democrats and Republicans sitting together. And while that's symbolic, that's important. And what he'll talk about tonight is how symbolism and Democrats and Republicans sitting together isn't the most important thing. It's where do we go from here? So, you know, if the senator from the Republican side and a senator from the Democratic side are sitting together, are they going to work together next week on some of the initiatives that the president talks about tonight?
And
so
you could
that's really going to be the test.
You could put Ron Paul next to Ben Bernanke, too. That would be a great shot.
Jen, that would make for an interesting evening.
I'll leave you alone. Jen Psaki, Deputy Communications Director for the White House. And thanks to Michael Waldman. Thank you, Michael.
My pleasure.
Former Clinton speechwriter and author of My Fellow Americans, The Most Important Speeches of America's Presidents from George Washington to Barack Obama.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.